Hello. Happy Wednesday. I almost said Saturday. Happy Wednesday. Thanks so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Art Speak Radio. And I am Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday from noon to 1. And, we're so glad you've tuned in. And you can also listen online, streaming live at kkfi.org. Also, TuneIn Radio has an app that you can have on your smartphone and listen to us without any sort of problems at all. Bye, honey. I want to, first of all, say a happy birthday to our dear friend, Jim the Blind Guy. Mark forgot to mention that. And so I want to say happy birthday, Jim. We love you. We adore you. We're glad that you're a part of the KKFI family. With that, I want to introduce all my guests in the studio today. We have Linda Lighton, Emily Brown, Tommy Harden, Emery Ulig, Mason Kilpatrick. Did I pronounce that right?
It's Ulig.
Ulig, yeah, very good. So we're going to hear from them today in the studio. And we may have John Hastings and Carla Malone Stick come in today as well. Just haven't seen them. This is live radio, folks. So let's get started. I want to tell you about my first guest, Emery Ulig. She started the Lit Up Book Festival because she thought that there should be a book festival specifically designed for teenagers and young adults, and she's enlisted a broad community of readers, authors, and organizations to make up Lit Up, to make Lit Up a reality. And now, with the help of her founding partner, the Mid-Continent Public Library, and the generous support of sponsors, nationally known authors and illustrators, and even the Librarian of Congress, Dr. Carla Hayden, they plan to expand Lit Up to other states and countries in 2019. So we're going to hear all about that, what her inspiration was for that, and also joining her is Emily Brown with the Kansas City Mid-Continent Public Library. So, yeah, welcome, Emery. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you
so much for having us.
So, you know, this is pretty exciting. As a 15-year-old, you just, and an avid reader, you said what?
I said that I wanted to find a way to get more people my age interested in reading. Actually, teenagers read more than other generations have just because of social media and other digital things, but they don't. I feel like they don't read as many books. And so I wanted to start a book festival to really interest more teenagers in reading.
That's terrific. And, you know, are you looking at specifically literature for teens and young adults?
Or all of the authors who are coming to Lit Up have been chosen specifically because I felt they could really appeal to teenagers and people my age.
So once you had this idea and you got started, what was your next step? Because, I mean, there's a lot of organizing this festival, right?
Yeah. So the first thing I did was I told my parents about it, and they suggested getting the library involved. So we went to Mid-Continent Public Library just because they have so many libraries. So we went to them, and I pitched this idea, and they said they'd be really happy to help. So with their help, we've made Lit Up a real thing.
And that's where Emily comes in. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
So with the help of Mid-Continent and the support of Mid-Continent Public Library, this came to fruition. And what was your role in helping out, helping create this Lit Up?
Right. Yeah. So about a year ago, Emery came to us with this idea, and we were blown away by the idea, which was such a great idea, reaching an audience that doesn't often get reached with book festivals. And we were so happy to be a part of it. And so, you know, together we've kind of helped pull together this amazing lineup of authors, illustrators, poets that are going to be there this Saturday at our North Independence branch. And so we're acting as hosts and helping Emery with this, but it's really been her vision, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of it.
Wow, this is really exciting because it's the first ever, right? And you want to go nationally and internationally, right?
Yeah. Our plan for the future is to continue holding Lit Up here in Kansas, but we'd also like to expand it to other cities and other states. We've had some contacts from other libraries around the country asking if they could hold Lit Up that hold their own lit up. Mm-hmm. So we're, after this is over, we're going to plan on putting together a sort of kit that you could access to hold your own lit up festival.
Wow, that's terrific. Also, I want to say that you're still in school. You're at Shawnee Mission East, mm-hmm. right? And you're the daughter of author Candace Millard. And yeah, so good. We're really proud that you're bringing this to Kansas City.
Yes.
Who are some of the artists, illustrators, authors that you have on tap for this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Ishmael Bea, who wrote a book about his experiences as a boy soldier in Sierra Leone. It's called A Long Way Gone. And then we also have Rainbow Rowell. She's a well-known teen author. She's written books like Eleanor and Park, Carry On, Fangirl. And then we have Nnedi Okorafor, who's written a lot of really amazing science fiction books. And those are our three main keynotes for the day.
Oh, great. Great. And Emily, for more information, what is the website that people can turn to for details? And
yeah, definitely. So if people want to see the full schedule of events, because it starts at 9 a.m., it goes till about 7:45 p.m., there's going to be free food presentations going on all day for teens. So if they want to learn more, people can visit litupfestival.org.
And that takes place May
12th, that's
right,
correct, yeah.
Right, at the North Independence Branch. And, you know, I have to mention that Lit Up will also include recognition of young artists and writers who have submitted their works for consideration into the Lit Up Creative Contest. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the creative contest closed a while ago, but it was a place where you could submit poetry or works of fiction or nonfiction or graphic art, which are also the four main categories that all of our authors and artists fit into for Lit Up.
Mm-hmm.
And then based off of that, three winners were chosen in each category, first, second, and third place. And then at the end of the day, they will be recognized in an award ceremony.
That's terrific. If you just tuned in to Art Speak Radio, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm talking to Emery Ulick and Emily Brown, and they're talking about Lit Up, which was started by Emery, who's a 15-year-old student at Shawnee Mission East in Prairie Village, Kansas. So this is going to be huge, and it's the first ever. And there's going to be more.
Yeah.
Right?
We hope so.
Yeah. You know, you talked about teens submitting entries into short fiction, poetry, and all that. Did you get a fair amount of submissions, and, you know, how did that go?
Yeah, we got around 300 submissions.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was really amazing to see all these different different short stories and works of poetry and art. And so it was really a privilege to get to see all of that.
And if you could tell us, Emily, the address of the Mid-Continent Public Library in Independence, which branch that's going to be at.
Sure, yeah. It's off 24 Highway in Independence. And so if you are taking I-70 and you get off on 435, then you can get onto 24 Highway. It's right there. It's close to the fire station right there, and close to the park as well.
Okay. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, Emery, but I'm going to ask you, mm-hmm. what are some of your favorite stories or short stories, poetry, yourself, what do you like to read? What are some of your favorite authors?
I'm a big sci-fi fan, so I really love Kurt Vonnegut, Ray Bradbury. I recently finished Science of Titan. That was really amazing. Yeah, I'm a big classic literature fan.
Well, we're glad that you are such an avid reader and you brought this to, you know, to our city. This is going to be a lot of fun, May 12th, North Independence Branch of the Mid-Continent Public Library and Independence, litupfestival.org is the website. So, are you planning for next year's? I mean, I know it's a little ahead of time, but you know, you kind of learn from this year's and organizing and all that. Are you kind of in the works for next year? I know it's a little early.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Of course, we're taking into account all the experiences we've had this year and just like what's working and what didn't really work. And then I think we're going to reuse the schedule and some other aspects of Lit Up for next year. But we'll really start planning that after this festival's over.
And I understand Amanda Gorman, the Youth Poet Laureate of the United States, will be in attendance, right? We're like looking at each other like, is she? I don't know.
Well, Amanda is actually a student herself, and so she had a conflict come up with school at Harvard, understandably so. And so she will actually not be in attendance, but I believe we have a video message from her that will be there.
Oh, good. People need to make reservations. Do they need to call ahead and say, I'm going to be there, reserve a seat? How is that going
to
work?
Yes. So when you go to lightupfestival.org, there's a button where you can hit to register, and then you just register for the events that you're interested in. You can see the whole schedule, and you just need to save a seat in advance.
And I also understand, as part of this, free transportation is courtesy of the KCATA, which will be available from Ruskin and Winnetonka High Schools between the hours 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., right?
Yes. That's right. Yeah, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for teens to be able to get to the festival. And so this is just one more barrier to entry that we're hoping to eliminate to get kids there.
And then they would have to make, if people wanted to ride the bus, they would have to make reservations or sort of work that out with...
Yeah, so they need to register for the sessions that they want to go to, but as long as they're signed up for Lit Up Festival, they're welcome to hop on the bus and catch a ride.
Also, I understand, in reading this PR, this is your chance to share an original poem or recite one by a favorite poet. Again, is there a sign-up for that, or is it just sort of, you show up and... You can read something.
There's a sign up on the day of the festival. So when you get there, you can sign up to be part of that.
This is going to be a long day, and then it will end with an award ceremony, right? And that's going to honor the winners of the creative contest and, of course, thanking everyone who have participated, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a really full day of events, and we really hope people come out and stay for the whole thing. But even if you just want to come to a couple of sessions and grab some free food, they're totally welcome to do that as well. The three keynotes are going to be amazing, but all of the programs and workshops are going to be great. And it's a good experience for kids who are wanting to get some hands-on instruction with writing and drawing as well. So it's not only getting to enjoy seeing your favorite authors and illustrators, but it's also getting a chance to kind of get in touch with your own creativity and discovering what you might be able to create someday.
Yeah. And Emily, if you would touch on the keynote speakers again, the names.
Right. Yeah. So Ishmael Bea is the first keynote speaker. He'll kick off our day. Rainbow Rowell, YA author, very popular, wonderful books. I've read them and love them. She's in the middle of the day. And Nettie Okorafor will be our last keynote speaker. And she's written a lot of sci-fi type books, and then she's also written a couple Black Panther comic series for Marvel. One came out last year, and actually she's got another one coming out soon as well. So she should be very, very popular, very cool to hear from.
Is there anything that we left out that you want to share with our listeners? Because I have everything right here, but I feel like, there's maybe something that I've missed or overlooked. Is there anything that you want to mention?
Not really. Just we hope you come and have a really great time. Yeah, it should be really fun.
I love this idea, Lit Up. I love that it came from your brain, a 15-year-old student at Shawnee Mission East in Prairie Village, Kansas, and you've been an avid reader. I think it's really important that, you know, people attend and really see what's out there for, you know, for themselves and their children and all that. So thank you for having that thought and that, you know, idea and having the backup, the support of the Mid-Continent Public Library. I just want to say one thing. I know the Rabbit Hole, which is going to be an exploratorium, is coming in North Kansas City. You know, there might be a partnership there, you know, because the owners were, they owned the Reading Reptile in Westport, and then it moved to Brookside, and they're going to do some fun stuff. So that might be
That's
a good
great.
Partnership.
Yeah. We're always looking for new partners.
Yeah. And Emily, is there anything that we want to, that you might want to mention about upcoming events aside from this at any of the Mid-Continent Public Library branches?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got we do a ton of programs all the time in all of our branches. We've got 31 branches. I would encourage people to go on our website, which is mymcpl.org, and just check out all the events we have going on. We have events, you know, for kids, for teens, for people of all ages and interests. A big one that we have coming up after Lit Up is What's Next Fest. So that will be on May 19th, and that's actually hosted in partnership with The Record Machine, and that's going to have some local artists that are performing. So if you want to learn more about that and sign up for that, go on to our website, mymcpl.org.
And I know there's always something big happening at the Woodneath Library
that
location, because you can actually make your own books and,
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, our Story Center. It helps people kind of get in touch with their creativity. If you're an author or a writer or really any type of storyteller, I would really encourage people to go to our Story Center and check that out, see what resources we have and programs as well. So
I love the way that libraries have changed. You know, you have performance, you have you know, the Story Center, you have all sorts of, you know, things that will entice people to be creative.
Yep. They're, you know, libraries are all about connecting people to the resources that they need in their life, whatever their goal might be. And so certainly we have such a wide range of services, resources, programs that can be very helpful to people.
And I'm going to put you on the spot, Tommy Harden. Come here, Tommy Harden. Come around here. Because I just want to introduce you as the media guru of Mid-Continent Public Library. You guys can just...
Hello.
Say again.
Hello.
And Tommy, what is your role with the Mid-Continent Public Library? I mentioned media kind of guy.
Well, I'm the online marketing coordinator. Yeah. So social media, a lot of things on the website. I'm just trying to get the word out about what's going on in Mid-Continent and show the value that the library provides to people.
We love that. Yeah, we love that. Because it's really changed, and we should be proud and really support our libraries and support our wonderful Lit Fest, brought to you by Emery Ulick.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you all so much. Any last words? Any shout-outs to Mom, who's sitting there in the corner?
Thanks.
Thanks for giving me birth, Mom.
Yeah. We hope to see you guys there this weekend.
Yeah. Terrific. But we're going to take a real quick break from ArtSpeak Radio, and we're going to be right back with this, with more information and guests for you. But I want to just play this song. You'll figure it out. It's a little Happy Mother's Day from me to you. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And I hope you're listening online at kkfi.org. So hello to folks listening online or on TuneIn Radio or some other sort of radio app on their smartphone. Next up, I have artists Linda Lighton and Courtney Wasson, who is the gallery director and curator at the Weinberger Fine Art Gallery here in Kansas City, Missouri. And we're going to talk about Linda's work, Thoughts and Prayers, an exhibition of her work by Linda Lighton and Jessica Wohl. And it serves as a commentary on current American culture, politics, and values. Each artist touches on themes of anger, fear, violence, pain, and despair. Linda Lighton's strong ceramic sculptures are an amalgamation of guns, fuel nozzles, bullets, and tidal. Contrasting Lighton's work are Jessica Wohl's quilts, which reference the domestic and carry strong messages, each artist making work that is rooted in a quest for justice and change. Welcome, my friend Linda.
Oh, welcome.
Last time I saw you was at the Arts KC luncheon, and it's like, oh, we got to get you back on. We got to catch up and you know, get you on air. So I'm glad that you're here to talk about Thoughts and Prayers. You know, I wish this was television, because the work that I've seen that you brought in for the photographs of the work are quite exquisite. They're really beautiful in a painful, sort of heartbreaking way.
Yeah, thank you. Know?
So let's talk about your work, Thoughts and Prayers.
Okay, I will. So I think I had been thinking for some time about how a lot of things that are marketed for women are penile, and also how that longing, testosterone, and all this stuff affects us. And I'd been doing some work about selling arms for oil, which we did. We sold, Trump sold arms to Saudi Arabia the first week. And what is Saudi Arabia doing with that? So at any rate, here's how this thing started. Anyhow, this has been going on in my mind, and I'd been stirring this around. But in 2010, so that was 8 years ago, my husband was driving to my studio, 8:30 Monday morning. It's a busy street. There's a light right there, and he stopped at the stoplight. And there are six men with guns drawn, and two men got shot right there, right on the corner, right in front of him. And it's just a block from my studio. I just got outraged. I was like, really? In my neighborhood? That's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to clean up the neighborhood. And you know, turn a middle-aged woman onto an idea. You want to get... I'm not getting stuff accomplished as much as I wanted, but I just felt really responsible for my neighborhood and for Kansas City, and I started kind of looking into it. This thing was never reported in our paper, and I'm like, really? Is that because they are black people? So that... Three... And then later that week, a man was shot at point-blank range, execution style, just a block. And, whoa, I found out I was in the killing zone, 64109, over here on 31st. Yeah.
But you know, do you think that we become desensitized to that? I mean, is it just sort of a common occurrence where it's like, yeah, well, this happened again. This happened, you know, over a period of time, many times. Do you think we
how can we affect change? I want to help. I wanted to make things better. So I went to the police commissioner, and I went to the chief of police, and I talked to Jolie Justice, Claire McCaskill, Jason Canner. I've talked to all of them. And their response was, you just have to keep talking about this. You have to keep this response alive. I know. Like, if you are in Europe or an Eastern country, we would have seen these children shot at Marjorie Stoneman High School. You would have seen a body sliced in half. And I think people ought to be able, you know, we're doing it light, you know, so
And I find that really interesting because I noticed that in Mexican newspapers and newsreels. I mean, you do see the violence. It's not like we're editing it, you know, for the consumer. This is real life, you know, and we're so different like that.
So then I thought, well, so I started signing petitions and talking to people, and then I thought, you know, what can I really do? And as an artist, I feel it's my responsibility to sort of report what is going on. Anger is an expression bolstered by fear. Can our democracy survive when our words are filtered through the muzzle of a gun? How can we debate our place in the world when we've chosen to wager our lives against those who disagree? I don't think we can have democracy is what this has turned out to at the end of a gun. Democracy is founded on civil discourse. I'm thinking about this last night, and I'm going, civics, civility, civil discourse, civilization. You know, are sacrificing our civility if everybody's armed. It's crazy. So I think we have a responsibility to speak up to these tragedies. I have a stack. I started collecting cuttings from the newspaper. That's when I started realizing they're not really reporting what's going on in this city. By gosh, we're the fifth most dangerous city in the country. It is Chicago's number 17 right now, with three murders a week. So 2 months ago, I saw a piece in the paper, a picture of a seven-year-old child with a AR-15 with a scope on it. And this was a celebration for veterans at that Sprint sponsored. And the headline was, Putting Himself in Your Place. Is this what you want? Who is the adult in the room, folks? And our Congress people aren't doing any adult thinking. Thoughts and prayers, come on, you know. So anyhow, and then I got 4-page fold out in my newspaper from a sports store at Christmas time with 4 pages of assault weapons and handguns. Yeah. And there was not a hunting gun in there, 4 pages, and it said the perfect gift for every occasion. Really? Wow. So what I see...
I just don't understand it. I don't get the gun culture.
Are you a mother? Where are the mothers?
Yeah.
Where are the fathers?
It's our right. It's our right to carry a gun, you know.
So in America, there was actually 350 million more guns, and that's very conservative estimates, than there are people.
That covers every man, woman, child, and baby.
Yeah. And this profusion of guns has not made us safer or more civil. It has not strengthened our institutions. It is destroying them. In the U.S., I told you we have 50 more. This should make us the safest country in the world, and we are actually the most dangerous country in the world. Mm-hmm. You know who's number two? Yemen. In Fodor's reported this year, the 10 places on the planet not to go, there was only one in the U.S., and it was Kansas City. We were listed after Myanmar, number 7. And it was because of this shooting of these Indian boys out in Overland Park, Kansas.
And so with all this information, with all this, the newspaper clippings and all this, you developed this new work?
Yeah, so I started in on this piece, I Don't Want a Bullet to Kiss Your Heart. Actually, first I was like, wow, we're just bowing down to guns. I made this 44 Magnum mandala that's like a mandala of guns. And I'm like, is that what we're doing? So when I was thinking about this, I'm like, how do I approach the public? I don't want to convince you because I know that you're thinking my way. So how do I approach the people that aren't thinking? So I did not want to make these too blatant. And actually, the NRA could be using these for promotion.
But
I thought I'll be kind of neutral and just say what's going on. This is what I see. And that can often be the role of an artist. And a lot of the work is definitely affected by social realism and Ben Shahn, Workers of the World Unite. Come on, guys, let's do this.
And then the work itself is ceramic, right?
It's all ceramics. It's incredibly fragile, terrifying.
So I
know, like in 2011, Gabrielle Giffords was meeting, with her constituents, and her and a judge and five people were killed, 16 were wounded. She was shot by the Colt revolver. 4 months after that, Arizona made the Colt revolver the state gun. And now we have 5 state guns. Do you want your children painting coloring in the state bird, the state flower, the flag, and the gun? And now there's 5 states that have official state guns.
It really is. Yeah.
So then I started working on this I Don't Want a Bullet to Kiss Your Heart, which is a large arch. It's about 8 feet tall with AR-15s and 44 Magnums, gas pumps, and all this.
And I just want to ask if any of this, the work is on your website, so people that are tuned in can go to the website.
Yeah, I'm Linda at lindalighton.com, and my website's a little messy. Go to political commentary.
Yeah, and then, of course, you're going to have the work up at Weinberger Fine Art, right? And Courtney Wasson is the gallery director and curator.
Yes.
So, hello, Courtney.
Hi.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and that opens up this Friday. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It opens at the Drawing Room. It's Weinberger's second location. So it's located at 1903 Wyandotte Street, just around the corner from the main gallery space. That space allows us to put exhibitions on that can be extremely focused, such as Thoughts and Prayers, and kind of singular in message and statement. And the work in the gallery looks, it's amazing and equally thought-provoking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited for people to see it.
We're grateful for Linda's, search to make a statement with your art. You know, be political, be active, be proactive with your art.
We don't have the country I want to have. Yeah. How can I be more effective? Yeah. We have petitions to sign down there. I have addressed all of my congresspeople and the people running for Congress. And I want to know, does our government have any responsibility to protect worshipers in a church, children at school, patrons in a movie theater, audiences at concerts? Does the government have any responsibility for protecting the public, which is engaged in peaceful activities?
Yeah.
Good question, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Thoughts and Prayers opening Friday, May 11th, before Mother's Day, at Weinberger Fine Arts Drawing Room, located at 1903 Wyandotte, Kansas City, Missouri. And that's going to be from 5 to 8.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to be on view till July?
Yeah, we will have exhibitions during First Friday in June as well as July. So we have the opening this Friday, June and July.
And is there going to be an artist talk where you can address some of the issues that you've brought up, Linda, in your
blather
work?
On.
My
husband's like, no statistics.
Yeah, we would like to provide an artist talk for each opening. Yeah. Linda will speak this Friday. In June, we're lucky to have Jessica Wool will be there, and we're inviting her to speak as well. Both artists' work is so powerful, and the things that I thought were interesting as a curator, because this work wasn't made side by side, so Linda and Jessica didn't endeavor on this exhibition together. But they overlap in thought and messaging. And the things that attract me to them are both as women artists, both are mothers, both are being an activist of sorts through their work and commenting on contemporary culture. So right now, and also they're not being reactive to the latest either school shooting or Las Vegas shooting or Orlando shooting or the shooting in Texas. I mean, when I was working on the press release and looking up numbers, it just became daunting and overwhelming. And I should also point out that the exhibit doesn't just address gun violence, that, you know, the work also talks about gender issues, power issues, class issues. But gun violence is at the top of the list.
If you just tuned in to Art Speak Radio, I'm talking with Linda Lighton and Courtney Wasson. We're talking about Thoughts and Prayers, which is opening Friday, May 11th at the Weinberger Fine Arts Drawing Room, located at 1903 Wyandotte here in Kansas City, Missouri. And I just want to just mention briefly that the Lighton International Artists Exchange Program just listed their recipients of the residency program, right?
It's an exchange.
Yeah. And, you know, several of our Kansas City artists were able to receive that residency. And so we're very proud and very happy to have those folks involved. Joey Watson, Nidra Bonds, and Cody Call, right?
Local. I think there were nine.
There were nine altogether, three from Kansas City, one from Topeka, Tori Lawrence, who's a choreographer and dancer. Joey Watson is a ceramic sculptor and performance artist. Joey Watson's going to Chile. And Nedra Bonds went to Cuba. And Cody is going to go to Iceland, and he's a digital music performance artist.
So congratulations to them and many more. The program provides support for mid-career visual artists and arts professionals to travel to international residencies in artist communities and for foreign visual artists to travel to and work in the United States. So the Lighton International Artists Exchange Program, LIAEP. So congratulations to those folks. Linda, your work.
Yeah, you can find it, LIAEP.org.
There you go. We love that. Linda, I want to see your work up close and personal and have a conversation with you, and we'll be able to do that at the Weinberger. you know, you mentioned that the work itself is very fragile, but the content and the message is really strong, right?
It's true when Linda said that when she didn't, and this amalgamation of guns, so her sculptures, her ceramic sculptures are, you know, guns intermixed with fuel nozzles or bullets and built into these forms. But I also like to say that title is an important piece of her work because you can walk around this pile of blocks that are, you know, put into a pyramid shape and wonder about it. But when you read the title of Hands Up, Don't Shoot, there's a very specific message and commentary there, which hopefully in 50 years' time is no longer a relevant issue, but it is a reflection on our times today.
Exactly. Great. Any last words before we close out?
Everybody go out and do something about this because it's got to stop. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go buy myself a gun this afternoon.
No. Well, you can. Listen, easily. Last week Iowa grants gun permits to the blind.
That makes sense. Why discriminate?
Everybody deserves to have a gun. So, wow.
Well, Linda, you're just a delightful person to have in the studio. Come back anytime, please.
Oh, thank you,
and we're going to check out your work.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You bet. And thank you so much, Courtney Weston. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. Hello, we're back. This is Art Speak Radio, and I am Maria Vasquez Boyd. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And, you know, we've got this little character in the studio who I love to bring in to KKFI. His name is Mason Kilpatrick. He's with Charlotte Street Foundation. And we love that you come in and tell us what's going on. So tell us what's going on, Mason.
Yeah, no, well, once again, thank you for having me on again. I feel like we've been crossing paths a lot recently.
Well, you know, it's the art community, right?
Yeah.
It's all good. So what you got for me, kid?
So Charlotte Street Foundation actually has a really interesting show taking place and opening this Friday in the La Esquina Gallery, which, of course, located on 1000 West 25th Street. So on Friday, our exhibition, which is, of course, a traveling exhibition in a collaboration with another gallery in California, the show is, of course, called Basic Essentials. It's curated by Zoe Tilipros, who's an independent curator in the Bay Area. Zoe, of course, is representing Royal Nonesuch Gallery, which is a small exhibition gallery space in Oakland, California, who has actually a lot of the similar ideologies and values that Charlotte Street has. I'm sure Charlotte Street has been known through Pat Alexander and Amy Kligman, of course, the two who oversee programming. They've been having this dialogue with Zoe for some time now of doing an exchange show, of combining some artists in the Bay Area and some artists in Kansas City, putting them in an exhibition together and really try to, you know, up the connections between the West Coast and the Midwest. So
I love that. In the press release, it's written, my goal, it's Zoe speaking, Tilipros. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. My goal for the exhibition was to find commonality in a subject matter and or approach between artists to begin a new conversation and opportunities for different perspectives to be experienced. I love that, you know, because it's Bay, you know, the Bay Area, which is, you know, pretty pretty artsy out there. But
also pretty dense and populated.
Yeah. Yeah. Very expensive to live.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's opening this Friday.
It is, yeah, no, so it'll run from this Friday through June 23rd, and the opening reception takes place this Friday from 6 to 9 p.m., and of course, Zoe and a few of the artists from the Bay Area will actually be here for that show and opening, so you can come in and kind of not only, like, look at what they've contributed to in terms of this overall idea of basic essentials, but you could also talk and meet them as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And
that's really cool.
And the really cool thing is after June 23rd, when it closes here in La Esquina, the exhibition will then travel over and will, of course, be open from, I think it's from July through August in Royal Nonesuch Gallery itself. So even the three Kansas City artists here will also have some love over there in California.
So this is a first for that gallery in the Royal Nonesuch Gallery and...
And us, yeah. Yeah, this is definitely the first time that we have collaborated together. As I said before, of course, this has definitely been over a year in the making now. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see where this goes because they have a lot of really unique opportunities and shows that go through their gallery, and I really think that their vibe definitely fits our vibe, especially in terms of missions, statements towards local artists within various areas. And Charlotte Street recognizes that we can provide as many resources here and help artists here as possible. Yeah. But right now we live in a really great time where Kansas City artists can get national exposure, national connections and awareness while still having lives in Kansas City. This is definitely part of that process of trying to maximize that. And also getting more artists outside of Kansas City, mm-hmm. such as, you know, the Bay Area. Mark Benson, of course, is in Oakland, and there's two artists in San Francisco, and having them being featured more prominently here as well. So it's a really cool exchange.
So could you give us the list of names of the artists that are participating in this?
Yeah, no, of course. So we're featuring three from the Bay Area. The first one is, of course, Mark Benson from Oakland. Then there is, of course, Mick Gaspray from San Francisco and Laura Rokas, who's also from San Francisco. The three from Kansas City, William Tony, who has, of course, been in previous mm-hmm. Charlotte Street exhibitions, mm-hmm. Brandon Forrest Frederick of Open House, as well as the Roaming Center for Magnetic Alternatives, which is Kendall Harbin's really cool mobile VHS tape in a van project. So
very cool. And I know Charlotte Street Foundation has a lot more going on. Wasn't there a call for residencies, and is that still open?
Yeah, and that's actually still
there
happening. So, I mean, if you go to our website at charlottestreet.org or you check out any of our social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you'll see us really pushing two things right now. This Basic Essentials show, which we want people to see, but also our CSF studio residency call. So that deadline, of course, is on May 15th. That's available towards artists anywhere in any direction. We've mm-hmm. already have applicants from Colorado mm-hmm. and even, I believe, like Singapore as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a really great opportunity for artists here locally or nationally to try to get 1 year of free studio space for them to create work, because we know the importance, especially either physically, mentally, or emotionally, of having that division of space
right
for you to work on one aspect of your life, but then be able to go on and kind of morph and run with your other identities, and they don't all have to be in your living room, you know?
Well, and the last time you were here, you brought some of the artists with you that have been selected for the residency, and they love, what I heard from them was that they love that community of artists that, you know, they're, you know, kind of going into each other's space and collaborating and, you know, sort of giving feedback in that, and that's really important.
Yeah, and I mean, and as you grow older as a person, naturally, one, it's really hard to network and to make new friends, but also it's really hard to find a consistent pool in which you know how to consistently collaborate with people. The one thing that this program provides is not only just the space, but a community for you to work with 29 other artists, mm-hmm. which can lead to great collaboration in the future, mm-hmm. can push your artwork and your practice as well, but you also have consistent eyes on you. Like, we're constantly mm-hmm. doing visits with local and national curators, critics as well, who are coming to the studio to look at your work, to do studio visits. It's a really great practice for young artists or even older artists to kind of like hone in on their craft mm-hmm. and maybe do a re-envisioning of what they want to do or who they themselves are.
I love that. Mm-hmm. What else you got, mister?
So another thing as well is...
We love our Mason Kilpatrick.
Yeah, thank you. And I love KKFI as well. We don't have much news on it right now because we can't. It's still in the jury process.
Oh,
but
do tell.
The Rocket Grant Awards, which we do every single year, which are a really great way mm-hmm. for artists mm-hmm. to get involved in the public eye in any community. That jury process is, of course, happening right now as we speak. And you can keep your eyes out for announcements later this month. And, of course, an award ceremony will come in a few weeks. But you can expect to see 8 to 10 mm-hmm. Rocket Grant artists mm-hmm. who will be doing some really cool public activities around. So.
And I think Anthony Rea, who was a Rocket Grant recipient, he was recently selected in Open Studios with Dan Cameron, right?
Yeah, which is awesome. And Jillian Youngbird, who a current resident and was just announced as this year's CSF affiliate, was also going to be in Open Studios with Dan, Open Spaces with Dan Cameron.
You know, if you looked at that, there's some big hitters in that lineup of artists that are participating for Open Spaces. So
And so it's really great to have that local representation there,
absolutely.
Especially artists who know have received help from Charlotte Street.
Right.
I mean, that's what we do. Is we're not the end all be all for artists. We're that launching platform. We're that band aid to help them out, get to where they want to be.
And you guys have been around for like 20, 40
years, so last year was our big 20-year anniversary.
Right.
We're already doing so much. Also, we recently launched our artist registry. So for the past 20 years, any of the artists who've been juried into a process, whether it's Rocket Grants, awards, studio residency, they now have a free profile or can have a free profile where they can promote themselves, and we can, of course, share those links with pretty much anybody nationally. Critics or curators are coming looking for collaborations. We can say, hey, we'll look at our entire catalog of former residents and see if you like any of their work and make a connection with them.
Yeah.
So
for more information for listeners that are interested in that website is...
It's charlottestreet.org. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook at Charlotte Street, Instagram, Charlotte Street Foundation.
You're all over the place.
And
social
Twitter,
media.
Charlotte Street. Yeah, we keep the hustle going for sure. So
I love that. Uh-huh. Well, and I know that our artists here in Kansas City appreciate that because, you know, they want their name out there, you know, for people to look at their work and, you know, recognize, you know, who they are as artists in the city.
Documentation is a really important part of art, right? Mm-hmm. Promoting artists and making sure that they're getting the recognition they deserve. Charlotte Street recognizes that. So through openings such as Basic Essentials, and I'll be doing documentation for that, and promoting them online on social media, because once you put that stuff online, it's pretty much going to be there. And it'll never go away in some capacity. So things like the Artist Registry, Basic Essentials, even the Studio Residency Call, these are things to help you promote yourself to get more access and more opportunity, because at the end of the day, accessibility is a really huge issue for a lot of people in so many different ways.
Yeah,
and Charlotte Street tries to tackle that,
we love that
one way or another. So
very good. We're winding down the segment. Is there anything else that we need to know, Mason Kilpatrick?
I just, you know, keep plugging away at the Basic Essentials.
Yeah.
If you are looking to have a great time, it's free and open to the public. If you're wanting to meet some great artists and a curator from the San Francisco area, you can go to La Esquina on Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. and look at this amazing show and even think about how this identity is going to connect with you. There will even be a public program through the hashtag Basic_essentials for you to even take part and even possibly be part of the exhibition yourself.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting stuff. So,
you know, we're really lucky to have Charlotte Street Foundation here in Kansas City. There's really nothing else like it. You know, that offers so much. And we're really grateful for having you, Mason Kilpatrick.
Well, thank you, Maria.
as a spokesperson and media person for Charlotte Street, because you make us aware of what's going on, opportunities, submissions, you know, all of that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and there's still a huge pool of artists and people out there who still need to know about us.
I know.
It's trying to get to that hustle.
I know. Yeah. I'm doing the best I can, sir.
Well, thank you, KKFI, for recognizing that.
So. Absolutely. We love you, Mason. Come back soon, yeah?
Oh, I'll definitely will.
Very good. All right. I want to thank my guests today, Linda Lighton, Emily Brown, Tommy Harden, Emery Ulick, Mason Kilpatrick. Did I leave anyone out? I hope not. I want to invite you to stay tuned next. My card. I'm going to invite you to stay tuned next for Jazz in the Afternoon. We don't have Jeff. Jeff is gone. He'll be back. But we have the wonderful Roger Wilder, who's going to take you on an amazing journey of jazz. Stay tuned for that from 1 to 3. And from 3 to 6, we have the wonderful Groovy Grant. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Next week, May 16th, we have Cynthia Ammerman, Caitlin Eckerd, Deborah Moreno. They're going to be on the show. So, yay, you'll tune in, I'm sure. Thanks so much for listening. We love you. And, honey, I'm coming home.